And there you are. Hello, how are you? Welcome to the get-together here on Bromley Radio. My name's Mick Smith, and you are? Why not introduce yourself? You can email bromleyradio@gmail.com. So how's your week been? Well, it's been a bit mixed. Quite busy for ourselves here at Bromley Radio, what with one thing and another, as they say. As we head even further into, yes, dare I say, winter. I mean, it's dark by 6 o'clock now. Terrible, isn't it? It's certainly not good for my mental health. I think I'm one of those people that suffers with that thing. It's called SAD. Seasonal, yeah, it's something to do with the weather. Yeah, I need sunshine. That's what I need, basically. And if we get lots of gloomy days in a row, then it does. It has a Debbie Downer on me, you know. Low air pressure, low mood, as I would say. I think that works for most people generally, doesn't it? Anyway, enough of me. Let's hear about you, eh? But this week, we were quite busy. In fact, we were invited along to the full council meeting at the new Civic Centre, inaugural council meeting there. So we'll have a record and then we'll have more about that. We'll also be speaking with Ian Scott of Bromley Homeless. We'll be having a word with him afterwards. And of course, the latest ongoings at Bromley Magistrates Court regarding, well, one of Sadiq Khan's security guys that ran over a ULEZ protester. And this was for sentencing. You can hear more about that as well afterwards. And of course, we've got the number one songs this week from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And that's how we're lining up for today. The Beatles and From Me to You. Yes, from us here at Bromley Radio to you. Just checking things are all right. Okay, ready over there? Okay. And on Monday, the 14th of October, a very auspicious day in Bromley's civic history. The new council chamber was opened officially, and the first full council meeting was held there Monday evening. Bromley Radio went along, and it went something like this.
Please, Carolini, could you come forward to the middle? You are the first member of the public to ask a question.
Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of think that the Mayor of Bromley, Councillor Dr. David Jeffries, sounds a bit like Jeremy Vine.
Well, we're going to get straight into our first topic. We're asking if it's time to scrap the Commonwealth. King Charles and Queen Camilla will begin a six-day tour of Australia on Friday. This is the King's first visit to the Commonwealth realm since becoming head of state and his biggest trip since he was diagnosed with cancer.
So there we are at the council chamber, and yes, Jeremy Vine, that's... I'm sorry, it probably just me, but yes, the mayor does remind me of Jeremy Vine, just so. One of the questions was, and it's answered by whoever's responsible in their remit, not just as a councillor, your representative on the council, of course, but of course they have portfolios, they have responsibilities within the council. Here's a question being answered by the councillor responsible for the environment, I think, as such. I could be wrong, but I think so. But it was regarding... My ears pricked up when I heard this. It's regarding overgrown hedges, and here is the councillor's answer to the chamber.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Denyer. I think you've asked a very interesting question. We've had a long first inaugural question in the council chamber, but thank you for that. If we can move on then to question two, which is from Alan Twell, which is the portfolio holder for environment.
I share your concern both as a pedestrian and a motorist. It's essential that property owners ensure that their hedges and other vegetation does not obstruct pavements. In the first instance, I recommend a note to the withdraw of the property, which usually leads to the overgrown foliage being cut. If this doesn't work, please report to the council via Fix My Street or by telephone. A neighbourhood officer will then investigate and, if necessary, talk to the resident. If this doesn't result in the offending vegetation being cut, then a notice is issued under Section 154 the Highways Act 1980. Non-compliance with the notice is followed by council removing it and charging the landowner. This is in line with the Cut It Back campaign. To reinforce this message, I'm arranging for an article to be placed in the next edition of our Bromley, the council magazine.
Thank you, Councillor Bennett.
And as you can hear there, towards the end of that answer there from Councillor Bennett, yeah, there was a bit of distortion there, so we did have a bit of a problem there whilst recording, unbeknown to us, but we carried on. And I must say that the surroundings there in the brand new council chamber there at the Civic Centre there on the corner of Westmoreland Road and Bromley High Street is lovely. It's fantastic. Great audio. Very spacious. New. Yeah, it is fit for purpose for the 21st century, where the previous one, no, not so much. But more about that later. But onto the more serious note now about North Point with cladding. Here's the answer from the councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Sutter, for her question. Mr. Mayor, I know that I speak for everybody in this chamber when I extend my sincere sympathies once again to the residents of North Point for the enduring mental stress and financial loss they have suffered on following the Grenfell disaster. I do, however, need to refer Ms. Saha back to the letter sent to her by Mr. Colin Brand on the 29th of October 2020, which I have circulated this evening in slightly redacted form for full disclosure if the Council's position on the matter remains unchanged. Mr. Mayor, the key section within it reads, as you are aware, the question of building control approval has been raised before and the Council's position has not changed. You will have seen this before, but the Council's records show that building regulation approvals were given, including to the cladding. At the time, both the building control inspector and the London Fire Brigade were satisfied that the scheme was compliant with the Building Regulations 1992. It should be noted that the responsibility for achieving compliance with the Building Regulations during the construction phase is the responsibility of the developer. The role of Building Control is not to supervise the project but as a clerk of works, but to carry out limited inspections at the request of the developer after statutory notification. Building regulations have changed significantly in the last 20 years since the conversion of North Point from offices to residential accommodation, and therefore any approval given at the time of the conversion should be considered in light of the Regulations Act. It would be the building owner's responsibility to ensure that any changes in standards are met, as requirements inevitably change over time. Mr. Mayor, whilst the Council has been as helpful as it could be for North Point residents in terms of lobbying government for assistance and facilitating free parking over an extended period, the Council tax is charged to provide local services for local people, very much including those living at North Point. And as desperate as their housing situation has been, that is why the decision not to provide a rebate was taken and still stands.
Thank you very much, Councillor Smith. Lucia, do you have a supplementary question?
Thank you for that answer, and obviously I have read that letter. The building regulations of 1992 that you refer to do not say that buildings with missing fire breaks are allowed as per the building regulations of that time. Our building was missing fire breaks, and any limited inspections which would have been taken by the council as part of building control would have shown that. So while we can refer to the various nuances and say that, you know, this is not our problem, it is the developer's problem to solve, the Grenfell inquiry has shown that councils that undertook building control also had a part to play in the building safety crisis, which we are suffering from today. Today marks 88 months since the tragedy at Grenfell. For 88 months, our residents have suffered enormous mental and financial harm. So my supplementary question is, how will Bromley Council support us financially, given that our building is still, the flats are still unsellable, even after cladding has been remediated, because of the huge ongoing costs of now keeping this building safe, because it was not built safely in the first place and signed off, unfortunately, even though it was unsafe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, it's not easy to say, but I cannot be clearer that you've been given the Council's full final legal position on this matter, that the Council does not believe there is any onus or responsibility on it to fix the building. And I know you would love me to say otherwise, but that is the firm advice I'm receiving from planning officers, from lawyers, and I really have nothing else I can positively add, I'm afraid.
Councillor Ireland, I think you have a supplementary.
Thank you. I'd like to say a big thank you to Kutu, who has been absolutely unwavering champion for the residents of North Point over a very long time, and I think you know, she deserves a lot of praise. I wonder whether the leader of the council is aware that in fact the lifts in North Point still do not meet fire safety regulations, despite the many thousands of pounds that have been spent on remediation in the building. That's a great concern to everybody. There was a recent fire in Dagenham where the London Fire Brigade said that the building was on their list of buildings that had a known fire risk. And I wondered if we could seek reassurance from the London Fire Brigade that North Point isn't on that list at the moment. I'd be very grateful for your comments on that. Thank you.
Councillor Smith?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I would assume if that has been a concern, that you would have raised it with somebody rather than mentioning it in a council meeting. How long have you known about this? Because the answer, quite simply, is if there is a problem, please report it in some way. Now, I don't know. I can't stand here and tell you what planning control, building control would make of it. But if something needs inspecting, please report it to the relevant portfolio holder, and they will most certainly go and look at it for you. And that's a promise. Bromley Radio.
Well done there to the folks at Bromley Council. Yes, the councillors there. A little insight into what goes on there at a meeting. And we're going to continue after we've heard from George Benson.
The She feels all the weight you're under, and when she breaks, is it any wonder? I know sometimes it crosses your mind to get on out and stay hard to find. Before you try, you better look in her.
Returning back to the inaugural first meeting in the brand new chamber there at the Bromley Civic Centre on the corner of Westmoreland Road and Bromley High Street. Yes, that's the one, the brand new one, yeah. So we were there, the meeting was on Monday, the 14th of October, and Bromley Radio was there with a few other people as well there in the, shall we say, the public seats for a very well-conducted meeting. I thought the Mayor of Bromley, Councillor Dr. David Jeffries, did a fantastic job in being the chairman there, chairing the meeting. And of course his assistant, who you often see with the Mayor, can't think of his last name, but his first name's Peter. But Peter, lovely fellow, drives the Mayor, looks after the Mayor, he's the Mayor's attendant, I think that's the official term. But the council meeting, he's the mace bearer, so you know, like that big mace that they have there in Parliament. Well, that is also reflected there in the council chamber. So let's get back to the meeting, and it's a follow-up inquiry about the fire in St Mark's Square back in the summer. You might remember that was the second of two fires they've had there in similar places there. St Mark's Square, which is literally around the corner from the council chamber there. So this was their answer to that.
Mr. Mayor, following on from the council's emergency team's excellent response at the time of the fire and support they provided to affected residents in the immediate aftermath, I am advised that residents were briefed as to how Moat intended to take forward matters, with Mr. Peter Fortune MP also taking a very close interest on behalf of the residents as well. To that end, I understand that a good number of residents are already back home, having been decanted for a period to enable the necessary repair works to be effected. In terms of the building itself, I should perhaps mention and place on public record for public interest that the council itself was not the building control authority for this development, as the applicant chose to use a third party approved inspector. Council was not and is not involved in building regulation matters at this site per se. Nevertheless, given the natural public interest and concerns expressed by many at the time, I took it on myself to contact Landsec's Mr. Mike Hood to satisfy my thing that could be being done, was being, and these were key points that you would take away. The London Fire Brigade have already confirmed that the cladding performed as it should have done during the fire and assisted in containing it from spreading. The balconies and roof terraces are cladding timber, a product called thermo wood, which is a timber product treated in a factory to make it less prone to igniting compared to untreated timber. This cladding underwent relevant fire engineer assessment at the time of installation and remains compliant with the current building regulations. However, we recognise that the use of timber in this context is now not seen as best practice given the enhancements in fire safety regs in recent years, as other materials would provide better fire stopping properties. As such, we have been in the process of replacing the timber cladding on all roof terraces across St Mark's Square. This work was ongoing at the time of the fire last month and will continue across the development in tandem with ongoing works to reoccupy Varney Court. Following their initial investigation, the London Fire Brigade has confirmed that the building's safety standards worked as intended, meaning all residents were safely evacuated and no one was hurt in the fire. They're currently in the process of reviewing the fire safety measures to identify which areas, if any, they can make improvements across within the development. The London Fire Brigade is also conducting a full assessment of the building and its certification, which they are facilitating. Once its report into the most recent fire is published, Landsec, will take any appropriate action, just as they did with the report following the 2022 fire. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Councillor Webber, do you have a supplementary?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Leader. I would only add that, obviously, to thank everyone that leapt into action that day, the response team. It was very impressive, but as the Leader highlighted, this is the second time we've had an incident in this building, which is obviously seriously concerning for anyone that lives in this building. I would only add, on behalf of some of the residents that I'm in touch with, what can the Leader do to continue to hold Moat to account? And I understand that meeting, I attended the one in St Mark's Church with Councillor Ireland. There was a subsequent one in the old council chamber. Moat didn't attend that, despite the fire brigade turning up in great numbers and our officers. What could the Leader do to continue to hold Moat to account for the actions they need to take here in the months to come, on behalf of residents? Thank you.
Councillor Smith.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm sure that, thank you, Councillor Webber, for such a question. I'm sure if there are specific concerns that Moat aren't doing something, just as the same as when perhaps people have got a housing problem more generally, if you can come through to Councillor Beer in the first place, report it, she will make the necessary inquiry through housing officers with the Housing Association. Certainly what I will do for you, we spoke about the progress being made in terms of replacing the timber balconies, I will certainly inform you as soon as it's finished. And then clearly, if anybody has an outstanding problem at that point, there may be further things. I'm told there is some possibility this problem was caused by maybe an overloaded socket on a balcony, which of course is the most vulnerable. The wooden bit outside is probably the most vulnerable piece on the whole building. So I'll come back to you, Councillor Webber, as soon as I hear about the timber being completed.
And that's Leader of the Council, Councillor Colin Smith, talking about the fire there in St Mark's Square. On to lighter matters now, and you might have seen on the billboards around Bromley, they want to know your suggestions for Bromley at night, and here's the answer from the council representative.
So the survey Bromley at night received 600 responses. The key findings were: the most popular activities at night are restaurants, pubs, cinemas and theatres. Respondents would like to see more live music, live comedy, youth clubs, high quality restaurants and top run events. For an improved night experience, respondents would like to see more outdoor events, increased police presence, better availability of toilets in the evenings, and improved lighting. And the main reasons for choosing specific areas of the borough to visit at night are accessibility, a strong leisure and culture offer, and feeling safe. These findings, along with the Knight evidence-based report and further engagement with stakeholders, will inform the development of the Knight strategy for the borough, which will be presented to the Bromley Economic Partnership in April 2025, prior to RRH PDS approval.
If you're a portfolio holder, Councillor G, do you have a supplementary?
Yes, I do. I thank the portfolio holder very much for her response, and it's great to hear the feedback from the survey. Could I ask how much, in terms of financial resources, this council will be allocating to put behind the survey in order to achieve these Knighton economy improvements?
The state of the council's finances, the answer is probably not a lot, to be fair. But that isn't to say that funding won't be available by other roads. We became a nighttime enterprise zone. We achieved funding from the Mayor of London via that road. And the economic development team are very active in seeing whether they can find some more grant funding to support us with our nighttime economy.
Will she confirm that we're not going to hire a night czar like the Mayor of London had that cost our taxpayers £132,000 a year?
Apparently there's one available at the moment, but no, we won't.
So there you go. So that's about the survey that Bromley Council have been conducting regarding night times in Bromley and how things can be improved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one thought, especially given the demand for live music, which is something we're across the country. Any plans for free events at the Bowie Bandstand in Croydon Rec?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if my colleague in environment has got any answers.
The roads?
If not, we'll take it away and find out whether that's...
Yeah, we'll take it away.
Take it away.
Thank you for that. Cue that by writing.
So there you go. That was a question about the Bowie music stand there in the park there in Beckenham Rec. And... yes, they're going to look at that. I've got an idea or two about that. Perhaps. You know, like they have these Elvis tributes. Well, I'm beginning to wonder if there are any David Bowie tribute acts around the UK. And perhaps Bromley could suggest that we have a day there where all the tributes gather together and play on the Bowie stand there in Beckenham Rec. David Bowie and Heroes. And who knows, one day we might have a day of David Bowie celebrations there at Beckenham Rec at the Bowie music stand there, where tribute acts from all over the UK descend upon the rec there and do their stuff at the David Bowie music stand. Okay, earlier this week we spoke to Ian Scott, one of the execs there involved with the Bromley Homeless Charity.
My name's Ian Scott. I'm one of the trustees at Bromley Homeless, and Bromley Homeless is a charity that's based in Bromley. We're in the United Reformed Church daytime advocacy and counselling surgery, where people can come in and have homeless support, and we also run a winter night shelter. Previously, what we would do, we would be working in the churches. We would be running the night shelter out of the churches, and we'd be looking after people there in the churches, and then they'd have to go back out onto the street. And it was a method, and it didn't really have great dignity and arrangements like that, and relied very heavily on the churches. And COVID came along, and we had the everyone in approach, which meant that we were providing hotel rooms, individuals, and that continued for a number of years. But that, of course, could stay on forever. But the government funding was very keen not to continue with hotel rooms, roughly. And the change now has reverted back to either some form of night shelter. And for us, we've decided to sort of get some funding. We were successful to get some government funding to create permanent emergency night shelter. We submitted planning application back in July 23. And we identified former caretaker's flat at the United Reformed Church in Bromley. It's at the rear of the United Reformed Church. And with their support, we've now carried out works and converted that flat so that it has five bedrooms, four of them en suite, with a kitchen and a volunteer room. And we'll be opening that in November. We're doing the decorating and flooring at the moment.
Right, that's very good. So it'll still be there at the United Reformed Church there?
Yeah, that's right. The United Reformed Church is Widmore Road. It's very central. And we have the advocacy, so we provide help and advice to people suffering. Yeah. And our job is to really assist those through the trauma of homelessness. Because one of the issues with homelessness is that it soon becomes very much a stigmatised, and it's an uncaring, and nobody listens to the individuals. You know, then branded homeless. And what we do is we really look after people. You know, we listen, we care, we start to sort of resolve some of their issues and assist them, however they may be. And that's the whole sort of ethos of, there's plenty of reasons why people can be homeless. And there's some, what can I say, sort of stigma associated being homeless. But the thing is, you aren't homeless, you suffer homelessness. That's the point. Yeah. And, you know, it is a traumatic event in somebody's life. It is not what that person is. So if you're suffering from homelessness, that may be as a result of a variety of different things. But everyone is actually very close to being homeless. If you imagine sort of keeping up your mortgage payments when you suffer a significant disability or a relationship breakdown, you may find that particularly hard. And these are issues that are cropping up all the time. And nationally, there's a shortage of housing associated with other things. That doesn't always result in rough sleeping, and the council does a lot of work, obviously, to resolve things. When you are rough sleeping, it can be very hard, both mentally and physically, to work your way back from that situation that you found yourself in. And part of what you need is you need more than just a roof over your head. You need someone who's going to listen, who's going to care, who's going to take time and effort to start to resolve some of your issues. And we're really proud of what we do in the advocacy service. We have counselling, we have access to GP, we work with the GP Alliance, we have access to medical. And we have the points, sort of things like the food bank, and we assist people with their financial claims and all of those sorts of things associated with the alleviation of homelessness, to be honest.
Yes, and tell us about your latest initiative to raise funds for the Bromley Homeless Charity.
Well, we always run a sleep out. The National Homelessness Day is always somewhere near the end of November. So for us, the date is Saturday, November the 2nd. This year. It's at the Bromley Parish Church, which, if you don't know, is that wonderful church to the rear of the Partridge Pub and Primark as you head down towards Shortlands. If you'll get there at 7 p.m, what we do is we have musicians there, we'll have some music. The Tamasha restaurant, and we're very heavily indebted to them, they've been doing this for a number of years, they provide a curry for us to serve. So we serve people that come, that buy a ticket. For £15, you can buy a ticket. You can have curry. You can listen to musicians. And this year, we're pleased we've got the mayor turning up. And yeah, we're going to have a great evening, to be honest. It's the usual mixture of celebrating volunteers that have worked really hard for us over the year, celebrating our successes. It is rather shamelessly promoting our cause and you know, realistically, providing a good fun night out in the evening. You can also register to sleep out itself. So once everyone's had their curry and gone home, the hardy souls can sleep out in the evening. I did it last year, and it's easy.
And what is it, a question of bring your own tent, perhaps? Or just you just lay there in a sleeping bag and be as covered up as possible?
Give you an example of what I did last year. So last year was really wet. We held it, I think, last week of October, and it was just really wet. and I had lots of plastic and sleeping bags. And I mean, you do the absolute essential for it is a reasonably good sleeping bag. Tarpaulins and something to really keep your head, you know, without a good warm hat, you can struggle. It's all about raising money.
How can people make contact in order to register for that and find out more about yourselves?
We do have our website, which is bromleyhomeless.org. You can email info@bromleyhomeless.org. Our website has a banner across the top, of course, that's promoting the sleep out and our other services. We've always got some things to promote. I can recommend, at the moment, we're looking for volunteers to help us run the night shelter, which would really be helpful. We've also always needed people to act as hosts. We run a hosting service of where we look after people.
Thank you very much, and all the best with that. And who knows, you might even see ourselves at Bromley Radio down there. And that's on the 2nd?
It's on the 2nd of November.
November. Yeah, and is that a Saturday?
It is. It's Saturday, the 2nd of November at 7 o'clock. You can buy tickets in advance, or you can buy tickets on the door.
Yeah. Okay. And how much will those tickets be as a donation?
They're £15, and that donation will get you your curry as well.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks ever so much again, sir.
Not just a radio station, more a way of life.
Bromley Radio.
We're now outside Bromley Magistrates Court. Simon Thorthrop has come to address the waiting media throng outside. Bromley Radio is here. Simon, can you tell us what went on in the court?
Well, first of all, Mick, as you know, I'm always delighted to speak to Bromley Radio because you are foremost there when it's things that happen in Bromley. And as you know, this was a very sad and tragic case in many ways because a lady by the name of Heather Watts was run over in Buckhouse Road by a TfL security guard. She was very badly hurt. You know, she had bruising. At one stage, they thought her legs were broken because literally she was standing in front of the car doing her usual protest with a placard, and the car drove into her in what appears to have been a deliberate act. A deliberate act. And then, having knocked her down onto the bonnet of the car, as she tried to stagger away, it then ran into her again as it fled the scene. And if it wasn't for the fact that Claire Dyer had pursued this car for nearly 7 miles, almost to the M25, it was basically trying to escape. They knew that they were liable, and they knew that they were guilty. That's why they fled the scene. That's why they didn't stop. That's why I'm pleased that today the magistrates have found him guilty. Michael Akinsola, that's his name, he's guilty. He's guilty of offence of driving without due care and attention. And the magistrates were quite clear. They said that the evidence from Heather was both credible and...
Okay, so on Wednesday was the sentencing hearing into the case, where the magistrates were going to impose a sentence. And afterwards, Simon Thorthrop was present there. Afterwards, we had a word with him about what happened in court on Wednesday.
The day was very painful for Heather, really, because the defendant, Akinsola,
was meant to be here for sentence today. He didn't have a clue what he was doing. He tried to pretend that he didn't know about the court date previously that happened. He tried to pretend that he's got special reasons as well. So for Heather, she's now got to come back to court yet again to see him finally sentenced. And that's not till January. So in the meanwhile, this guy is driving and is driving around. He's been driving dangerously. He's allowed to continue to drive up until January. And it's not allowed, really. And that's disgraceful from Heather's point of view. So we come back in January. Hopefully his illness reason or claim special reasons will be rejected by the court, because I can't see if it's got any. And he'll be sentenced and disqualified from driving accordingly. This bench agreed with the last bench that this was a Category 1 offence, which means that it caused more harm and was very serious indeed. So let's hope that that is sorted come January.
I told you it was a busy one. Thank you very much, Simon Thorthrop there, Councillor Simon Thorthrop, who was present at Bromley Magistrates Court there Wednesday afternoon. And yeah, that was quite an experience as well, being there at the Magistrates Court and having to see all the other previous cases roll in before we got to hear ours. Yeah, it was interesting. We're at the part of the broadcast where we have a rundown of the number one songs this week from 1964, 74, 84 and 1994. It was a new number one this week in 1964. It was this.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me? Of me, oh, 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 oh. When shadows fall, I pass a small cafe where we would dance at night, and I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. If you should find you miss a sweet and tender love we used to share, just come back to the places where we used to go. And I'll be there. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me? Always something there to remind me. I was born to love you, and I will never be free when there is always something there to remind me.
Sandy Shaw and Always Something There to Remind Me of You, number one this week in 1964. Sweet Sensation, number one this week in 1974, number one this week 10 years later in 1984, was this?
Just as long as we're
And Freedom, number one this week in 1984 and number one in 1994. Take that. Take that, and sure, number one this week for the second week running in 1994. That's it. There is no more. Thank you very much for being there. I told you it was a busy one today. We had a busy week, Bromley Radio, this week. I know it might not seem like it online, but we were busy in the background there, trying to bring you all the best audio bits that we could find in and around Bromley. Have yourself a good week. We're back here, live, loud and proud, on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And of course, you can hear this repeated Monday morning, 10 a.m. and throughout the rest of the week, perhaps. And of course, don't forget our website, the catch-up part of that, or the listen again, where you can find this week's programming. And we've got a fresh episode, well, sort of the Little Big Show. And of course, we also have a fresh episode of the Bromley Buzz. That's all to come. Have yourselves a good one. Till the next time. Ta-ra.